The center of the Christian faith is the cross. And by that, I mean the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. They really fit together. They're not meant to be separated. That's the center of Christianity. You know, you don't have a resurrection unless there's been a death. The resurrection requires the death to happen. And if Jesus is dead and did not rise again, we have a bit of a problem. There's a story told of a man that was listening to the radio on Easter morning. And he heard the preacher on the radio say, "You know something, it doesn't matter to me if Jesus rose from the dead." He said, "The fact that he died for my sins, that's enough for me, and I will love him because of that." And the man heard it, and he said, No, it's not enough. It's not enough that Jesus just died. Jesus rose from the dead. And he apparently went on and wrote this song that just proclaimed the risen Lord. And I've searched for that song and tried to find out what song he had written. I'm not sure what it is. But the thing is, in Christianity, if Christ is not raised from the dead, we have nothing. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the center of Christianity. And you know, when people come and they challenge Christianity with this and that, and they come at all these other areas, the truth is, well, you can challenge all these areas, but the Christianity rises and falls. It stands or it collapses on whether or not Jesus rose from the dead. That's what it comes back to, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In God's word, we read this: "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then the 12." And it goes on to say that he appeared to more than 500, most of whom are alive still at the time of this writing. Jesus is alive, very much alive. But Jesus is not just alive. It's really important that we wrap our fingers around and embrace the truth that Jesus is not just alive, but he's resurrected. You know, there's a difference between being alive and resurrected. In fact, there's a bunch of differences. One is being alive means you're alive, but if you're resurrected, it means you were dead and you've come back. Now, Jesus is not resurrected like, you know, if you're on the operating table and your heart stops and they resuscitate you, they bring you back. That's not the same kind of resurrection. You see, if that happens to you, the same with those who were brought back to life like Lazarus in the Bible. And you know, the widow of Nain, and the story tells us she was grieving over the loss of her son, and Jesus brings them back to life. They were brought back to life, but they were not resurrected like Jesus was resurrected. They rose from the dead to die again. Jesus was resurrected in the sense that Jesus will never, ever, ever die again. That's what it means to be resurrected. You were alive, you died, and you rose again, and death is no longer an issue for you. Death is something of the past. You know, for us, death is for the future. But for Jesus, death is for the past. Never to be before him. Never to face him again. Never. Jesus is resurrected. He's not just alive. He is more than that. He is alive and alive to something new. And one of the things that makes the resurrection so important for us is that we want to be resurrected too. In verse 12, it says this: "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead?" Now, get this. Some of the people were saying there is no resurrection. It's just this life. Right? There's no resurrection. We just live this life and then we die and then we're buried and it's done. And he says, well, if there's no resurrection, then even Jesus didn't rise from the dead. We follow a dead God, is what that means. But there is a resurrection. Jesus did rise from the dead. He says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And this is so important for us. We have to understand how crucial the resurrection is for us. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we are wasting our time. We're absolutely wasting our time. What's the point? right? It's just for here. And a lot of times people live that way in life. They just live for here, right? It's just for this moment because they expect nothing afterwards. But as those who know Christ, we're to be people of the resurrection, people who look forward to something more. If we are believing just in this life here, if there is no resurrection, he says, your faith is in vain. No, there's no point to any of this. He says, and we're liars because we're talking about Jesus being raised from the dead. Everything in Christianity falls apart because everything comes back to this amazing truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verse 20, we read this, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You got to understand, that's a strange phrase, isn't it? The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. It means that Jesus rising from the dead, he's not the only one to do it. He's the first one of many. It says, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, first fruits of those who have died. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then it is coming those who belong to Jesus Christ. The first one, Jesus, was resurrected. And what we're expecting, what the Christian faith holds to, what we cling to is that we follow. We're next. Right? That's the thing that we want to be able to say. Well, we're next, right? Jesus is first and we're second. We come next. Our resurrection is to come because we're resurrection people. You see, in Adam, everyone dies, right? Everyone who was born of Adam, everyone of the human race dies. But in Jesus Christ, all those in Jesus Christ will rise again, just as Jesus rose again. That's the amazing thing about the picture of Jesus Christ. He comes to this earth. They call it the incarnation. He takes on flesh. He becomes a man. He becomes a man, a person like us. And he lives and he dies like us and conquers death. And we live and we die and we look forward to a resurrection. The conquering of death for us. That's what we hold to and we cling to. In Adam all die, but in Christ all who belong to him live. And then you read this in verse 24. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power, for he must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. He will destroy everything, take all power and all authority, and he places it at the feet of God the Father. You know, the scripture tells us as well that when all is said and done, Jesus himself comes and puts himself at the feet of God, and he says, I follow. I'm yours. Everything comes under God the Father, even Jesus, the Son of God. But I love this last part. The last enemy to be destroyed is what? Death. Death. Did you know death is an enemy? Right? We look at it and we see it as a natural thing, right? It comes to all of us and we say, well, it is, you just got to accept it. Do you know death is an enemy? Death is something you should hate. You should look at it and say, oh, I can't stand death. I hate death. That's how God looks at it. He says, death is my enemy. Death, I'm coming for you. You're in my sights. Your time is limited. There is a point where death will exist no more. Do you know why? Because God is dealing with it. He's coming to this point of saying, I'm going to destroy this enemy of death. Just as Jesus is resurrected and death is behind him. Death will never be before Jesus again. Jesus will never come to that point of death ever again because he's not just alive, he is resurrected. And death is something that we look forward to being behind us. Does that make sense? Look forward to being behind us? One day it'll be behind us, never to be before us again. Never, ever, ever. Because we want to be people of the resurrection because we look to Jesus Christ. He will destroy death, the enemy. There'll be nothing bad left, just good. And we all come under God, even Jesus Christ. And then it goes on over here. It says in verse 35, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? I love Paul's response. He says, you foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind a seed of seed, its own body. What kind of body will we have? It's different. It'll be a spiritual body. I don't mean in the sense of a ghost. I mean what we have now is the natural body that dies, that suffers. And then there will be a spiritual body that never suffers. And verse 42 says it this way, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, and what is raised is imperishable. Do you get the resurrection? What we look forward to is not this. What we look forward to is better. What we look forward to is perfect. What we look forward to is complete. What we look forward to is great. Alf, do you look forward to a day of never walking with that cane again? That's your hope. You know that? That's your expectation. That's the resurrection. A day when that's all behind you. Right? Joan, see that wheelchair? There's going to become a day when that's never an issue for you before again. And you look back and you say, oh yeah, I think I remember something about a wheelchair. Isn't that a great thought? Yes. And the pain in the wrist gone. The resurrection is what we look forward to. We are resurrection people. That's our goal. The center of our faith is the fact that we come back to this issue that we believe one day we will be resurrected. Not just die. Death is the enemy to be defeated by Christ. We look forward to a resurrection, to one day be free of all the pain and the suffering. The scripture goes on, it talks about how we have a natural body, but we will have a spiritual body, and it puts it this way. Now we are in the image of the man of dust, Adam. We're in the image of the human race, but then we'll be in the image of the heavenly man, it says, Jesus. What we have now is temporary. What will you have then? What we have then is eternal. You know what I was thinking about the other day? Do you remember how Moses went up the mountain and he spent time in the presence of God? And do you remember what happened to his face when he came down? They couldn't look at him. His face was glowing. It was too much for people, and he started having to wear a veil over his face because they couldn't handle it. His face was shining like the sun. And I was thinking about how in Revelation gives an image of Jesus showing up before John. And one of the descriptions is his face shines like the sun, right? In its full strength. What will it be like to be in the presence of God for an eternity? What will our faces be like? I mean, if Moses spends a little bit of time with God and comes down from the mountain and they can't even look at him, what is it like to be in the presence of God, the Almighty, for all of eternity? What does it do to us in these resurrected bodies? Now the image of the man of dust, but then the image of the man of heaven. And then you read this in verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. What we have now is not for then. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. In God's timing, all who belong to Christ will experience resurrection, the heavenly body. In God's timing. And I think to myself, when? When? Well, we don't know, do we? In God's timing. Just as God is sovereignly able to control all matters of life, he's sovereignly able to determine when the end is. And that's in his hands. And that's a good thing. Right? But when Christ returns, we look forward to resurrection, eternity with Christ. And then verse 54. If you have your Bibles, read this. Follow along with me as I read this. Says this, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? You know, I was hearing this guy say a little while ago that there are certain passages in the Bible that should have theme music. This is one of those passages, isn't it? Oh, death, where is your victory? Boom, boom, boom. Oh, death, where is your sting? Like, I mean, really, angels should be singing this huge, thousands of angels should be surrounding, proclaiming. The drums should be going. Everything should be going when we say, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Because we come to that point in the resurrection when we are raised from the dead and we turn around and we look at death. We look at pain. We look at suffering. We look at the wheelchair, the cane, the blindness, the aches, the pain, the bad backs, the everything that we deal with. We look at the suffering and the hurt, everything we go through, and we say, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, everything bad, where are you now? You're conquered and you're defeated at the feet of God and never to rise again. Death is the last enemy to be defeated. The message of the cross, the burial, and the resurrection is a message of salvation. As in Adam, all die. As in Christ, all live. And the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is that Jesus came to pay for sin on the cross, take our sin on himself, hang on the cross, die on the cross for our sins, be buried for our sins, rise again to give us resurrection, to be a resurrected man so that all of us can follow behind. And he turns to us, this victor over death, this king of all creation, he turns to us and says, follow me. Turns to us and says, this is the path. There's the wide path that everybody runs to, that you can go to, that leads to destruction, but I've got the way of life. Come to me, and you come to me by faith. Believe me. Believe I died. Believe I was buried. Believe I was raised again. Cling to this matter of me saving you, and you will be saved. The Bible puts it this way. If we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Not because of us, but because of the Almighty God who went before us, lived, died, buried, raised again. And then we come to verse 8, you know, or verse 58, and you know, if Christ was not raised, it puts it this way. It says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That nihilistic, futile kind of mindset of, if the dead are not raised, do whatever you want, because there's no point. But he says, the dead are raised, and Christ is raised, and there is to be a resurrection. There's a point where it's all over. The death is behind us. And he says this, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. If there's no resurrection, there's no point. If there is a resurrection, hold on, folks, because it's coming. Be steadfast, immovable. Always follow the Lord. Work hard for him. Not because that earns you your salvation, but because Jesus is resurrected, we will be resurrected, and we look forward to that. One day, death will be behind us. Now, we don't have the theme music, although we're going to sing this in just a moment, but can I invite you to stand if you're able and read with me these words. We'll read it a couple of times and declare these words that we look forward to saying together one day. Death is swallowed up. Now, hold on. I'm sorry. If we are resurrection people, and if we're really excited about this reality that Christ is going to give us a resurrection, we can't say it in that typical Baptist monotone. Death is swallowed up in victory. You know, we can't do that, right? This is a wonderful thing. Let's say it together. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Let's say it one more time together. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Lord God, we come before you as the God of all creation, the God who has done it all, and the God of the resurrection. And Lord, we cry out to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who looks at death as something behind him, never to face it again, but looks forward to defeating the last enemy of death. And Lord, we impress on our minds the beauty and wonder of resurrection. And Lord, I pray that we would hold to it confidently and wonderfully and grip it tightly. And Lord, if there are any here who do not know you, who are not, as it says, in Christ in this passage, I pray that today would be the day that you would draw them in. Your word says that no one can come to Christ unless the Father draws them. Draw them in, I pray. I pray that you would draw them in and they would know you and love you with all their hearts. Lord, we look forward to that day when we get to proclaim, where is your death? Where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Amen.